This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وإذا قيل له اتق الله أخذته العزة بالإثم فحسبه جهنم ولبئس المهاد. وقال تعالى: والذين إذا ذكروا بآيات ربهم لم يخروا عليها صما وعميانا. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders and friends, one of the many reasons for the stagnation, nay, degeneration of this ummah is simply because we lack the courage to concede guilt and accept rectification. One of the greatest causes of the stagnation, nay, degeneration of this ummah is when we err, we don't have the courage to say, I have made a mistake. The English proverb is very apt and profound. You can learn a lot from your mistakes, provided you're not denying them. You can learn a lot from your mistakes, provided you are not denying them. Furthermore, to add salt to injury, to exacerbate and compound the crisis, those who muster the courage to rectify us seldom do so diplomatically, sincerely, and euphemistically. Hence, more than often, their intervention and rectification has more of a negative impact than a positive one. And that's the focus of my talk today. How we can develop the courage. A brother will tell you, pray for my guidance, pray for my hidayat, but don't tell me what's wrong. You must make a lot of dua, Allah give me hidayat. You don't know me, brother, but don't ever rectify me. Don't rectify me. You're not my father. Not like I accept my father's rectification. You must make dua for my guidance. You must make dua for my hidayat. This is the unfortunate situation. The narration is in Tabrani. Abu Ya'la also makes mention of it. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ascends the pulpit on the day of Jum'ah. And then he makes a proclamation. He says, Al-malu maluna wal-fay'u fay'una. فَمَنْ شِئْنَا أَعْطَيْنَاهُ وَمَنْ شِئْنَا مَنَعْنَاهُ. The wealth, the national treasury, the booty, the spoils, it belongs to me. It's my choice, it's my right, it's my prerogative. If I want to give you, I'll give you, and if I want to withhold, I'll withhold. فَلَمْ يُجِبْهُ أَحَدْ. Nobody responded, nobody retorted, nobody objected. The next week, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu ascends the pulpit. قَالَ مِثْلَ مَقَالَتِهِ الْأُولَى. He echoed the very same sentiments he echoed in the previous week. الْمَالُ مَالُنَا وَالْفَيْءُ فَيْءُنَا فَمَنْ شِئْنَا أَعْطَيْنَاهُ وَمَنْ شِئْنَا مَنَعْنَاهُ. Whoever we want to give the wealth to, we'll give it. And if I'm not comfortable, I'm not at ease, I will withhold. And it's mine, it's my choice, it's my right. I can apply my own logic and understanding. فَلَمْ يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِ أَحَدْ. Nobody objected. The third week, رِجَالُهُ ثِقَاتْ. Academically, the scholars of tafsir say, all the narrators of this hadith satisfy the credentials of authenticity. Tabrani and Abu Ya'la both make mention of it. On the third week, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu repeats the very same sentiments. فَقَامَ رَجُلٌ مِمَّنْ حَضَرَ الْمَسْجِدْ. One of the congregants stand up and he challenges Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He said, Oh Muawiyah, your excellency, I beg to differ with you. Al-malu maluna wal-fay'u fay'una. Faman hala baynana wa baynahu hakamnahu ila Allahi bi asyafina. That O Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, we as the subjects and the citizens, we have a definite share in it. And if anybody denies us our due and our right, we will hand over his matter to Allah and we will unsheath our swords for him. Sayyidina Muawiyah said, bring him in immediately. The man was taken in. Faqala al-qawmu halaka al-rajul. People said, this man's fate is going to be nasty and unpleasant. He goes in. After a little while, the discussion is prolonged. So they are anxious. They are uneasy. They knock on the door. Sayyidina Muawiyah said, come in. When they walk in, they find the man is sitting on the throne, and him and Sayyidina Muawiyah are having the best of discussions. So they're perplexed. He was the one that challenged Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu summoned him in. When he was taken into the presence of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, wajadahu jalisun ala sarir, is sitting on the throne, and Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu is talking to him. So people said, unpack, what's this all about? He said, sami'tu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul, I heard the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, yakunu ba'di umara, there will be governors and rulers after me. Yatakallamun, they will utter things out of line. فَلَا يَرُدَّ عَلَيْهِمْ أَحَدٍ, nobody challenge them or oppose them or retort to them. يَتَقَاحَمُونَ فِي النَّارِ كَمَا تَتَقَاحَمُ الْقِرَدَةُ, they will fall over one another in hell, just like monkeys hopping from one tree to another, fall over another. The first week when I made that statement, I was literally provoking a response so that I wanted to test, am I amongst those people who are challenged or not? So I made the statement, and I made a provocative statement to say, I'm entitled, I can do what I want, who's going to challenge me, who's going to tell me anything, who's got the guts, who's got the muscle, who's got the clout? And nobody said anything. فَخَشِيتُ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنْهُمْ, I said, Ya Allah, looks like I am one of those people Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam prophesized. The next week I said it, nobody responded. My fears got even louder. Inni min al-qawm. Allah, precisely what the Nabi of Allah warned us, that people will just talk. They will just make statements. Nobody can dare say anything. There's no transparency. There's no openness. There's no accountability. You open your mouth, you lose your job. You open your mouth, you implicated. You open your mouth, you victimize. You open your mouth, you marginalize. You open your mouth, you exposed. And the third week when I said it, فَقَامَ هَذَا الرَّجُلُ, this man stood up. أَحْيَانِي, honestly, he gave me life. May Allah give him life. He gave me a fresh life. He rescued me. At that critical moment, 3 weeks in a row, I said, Ya Allah, I'm one of those people that Nabi alayhi salam had prophesied. But when he challenged me, I could sigh with relief that no, Allah, people can take me to task. People can challenge me. There are people out there who can talk to me. The ayat-e karima that I recited is a verse of the second juz, Surah Baqarah. There was a munafiq by the name of Akhnas bin Shuraiq. He used to come and sit in the gathering of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam. Very articulate, very eloquent, flowery speech. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُعْجِبُكَ قَوْلُهُ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيُشْهِدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا فِي قَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are some people who come whose speech is very impressive. يُعْجِبُك, they will impress Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they will swear oath upon oath, I swear by Allah, I love you. And Allah says, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is nobody who despises you more than that person. I'm paraphrasing the verbatim translation. He is the most hostile opponent. He is the most hostile infidel. وَهُوَ أَلَدُّ الْخِصَامِ. So he will come in your gathering, rosy talk, flowery language. This is how close, this is how passionate, this is how much I love you. وَإِذَا تَوَلَّى سَعَى فِي الْأَرْضِ لِيُفْسِدَ فِيهَا وَيُهْلِكَ الْحَرْثَ وَالنَّسْلَ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفَسَادِ. There are two explanations to tawalla. I'm going to give the one tafsir first. That's Allama Nasafi has made mention. This very person who makes all these general claims that he loves you, he is committed to your cause, if ever he is given political clout and authority, he is given power, he is given rulership, then by virtue of his authority, he will do nothing other than evil, corruption, destruction, mayhem and anarchy on this earth. What will he do? He will destroy crops, he will destroy flock, he will harm people. And what's his nature? And that's the point that I want to focus on. Somebody goes up to him then. The Quran says, listen, brother, you had made a lot of claims that you love Allah and you love Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And this is how you behave in... If you look many of presidential inaugural speeches, how flowery it is, how the landscape of that country is going to change, the dynamics and the demographics of the planet is going to change. But when the man comes into actual office, and when he supposedly rolls his sleeves up, there's a different setup altogether. So the Quran says, then you approach the man. You approach Akhnas bin Shuraik. Listen, I just want to tell you, you have defaulted. You have dishonored. You have not delivered on your claim. وَإِذَا قِيلَ When it is said to him, اتَّقِ اللَّهِ Stop your arrogance. Man, you're carrying on like you'll rule forever. You think you anchored in your position. Fear Allah. His arrogance provokes him to exploit you even more. You open your mouth with me, I will teach you who I am. These are the words of the Quran. أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ أَيْ أَخَذَتْهُ النَّخْوَةُ So you can't talk to him. He's untouchable. You can't approach him. He's not amenable. He's inaccessible. He's above the law. When a person doesn't have anybody to advise him or mentor him, there can be no two opinions in the inevitable destruction of that man. When I've reached a point that nobody tells me, my parents, my seniors, my guardians, those above, nobody talks to me, then my days are numbered. Then my days are numbered. Ittaqillah, brother, stop this. How long are you going to carry on like this? One of my scholars used to mention, everybody is observing your shenanigans. Some are silent out of respect, and others are silent out of desperation, because they have a job to look after. And others feel, why must we get under his skin? Let's carry on with our life. But everybody has two eyes, and they're observing what you're doing. Allah is observing. There's no two ways about that. But even the makhluk of Allah is cognizant of your shenanigans. أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْ His arrogance provokes him to exploit you even more. فَحَسْبُهُ جَهَنَّمُ Tell him our Jahannam will take care of all his arrogance. إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ جَزَاءُكُمْ جَزَاءً مَوْفُورًا أي وافرة. Tell them one hell is enough to wrap up every crime of every offender. So that's the focus. How we can develop within us, and then we'll share some anecdotes from the lives of Sahaba, that how they were open. Tell me about my wrong. And likewise, when we reform or endeavor to rectify, what's the approach? What's the methodology? How do we approach the situation? Are we helping or harming? Are we improving or exacerbating? In fact, from the Quran we learn, from the tale of Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam, that Allah gives us a cue and a hint that when you rectify someone, then instead of being explicit, it's always better to be implicit. Start off with a gentle tone. Start off with a hint. Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wassalam one day made a claim. And a Nabi is the most close and beloved servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the level of mentoring and molding and grooming of a Nabi takes place on a very, very fine and stringent level. You and I do not say insha'Allah how often, but Allah never denies us anything. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inadvertently did not utter insha'Allah once, and Allah withheld revelation for 15 days. This was the level, the lofty status of Nabi alayhi salam, that he slipped up and immediately he was groomed to that level of perfection. وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهِ Oh my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in future when you make a claim, couple it with the word insha'Allah. Allah told Sayyidina Musa to come to Mount Tur, and Allah said, bring your nation with you. In the excitement, in the jubilation, in the joy, Sayyidina Musa arrived before the appointed time. All excited, Allah told me to come at a particular time I came before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala modestly reproached him. This is the explanation by Allama Alusi in Ruh al-Ma'ani. وَمَا أَعْجَلَكَ عَنْ قَوْمِكَ يَا مُوسَى Oh Musa, why did you come before your time? قَالَ عَجِلْتُ إِلَيْكَ رَبِّ لِتَرْضَى Allah, I came quickly because I want to please you. Allah, you told me to come on a time, and I came before that. Allah said, Oh Musa, you are the Nabi, you are the guardian. And the correct method of a Nabi is that he brings his flock with him. You hastened and came and you left your flock behind. In the interim, they got involved in idol worship. So as much as he hastened, his intention was noble, but in that it resulted in his nation. So this is how fine a Nabi was groomed. How many times you see a young boy standing, you want to tell him, you know what, it doesn't look nice with your hands in your pocket. You don't greet an old man like that. But ni bolai, ni kewai, tapi jahe. You got to watch your words, you got to apply your mind, you got to be very diligent, you got to be calculated, you got to scan the horizons, you got to see, you got to approach it. There's so much sensitivities. So Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam said, oh Allah, there isn't a moment in my palace but that you worshipped. Allah said, Dawood, that is correct, but it is because of my tawfiq that I have given you. I will pull the plug one day and you won't be able to honor that claim. I will pull the plug. Sometimes you say, me, I'll never sleep without my tabarak. If I don't read Yasin, my eyes don't close. MashaAllah. And then visitors came and you had a long day and you were tired and one thing to another and you fell off to sleep while you were driving. Then you ask yourself, what happened to the claim of not sleeping without Yasin and Tabarak? Be slow in making claims, my brothers. Be slow in making claims. You see, my boys, they like this. Well, you don't have no guarantee of your grandchildren, my brothers. So we must be very, very slow and gradual before we make a claim. Because things can bounce back very quickly. If my son does that, you know what I'll do with him? If my wife talks to me like this, oh, whoa, my brother, go slow. The traffic officer stopped the gentleman. I've been watching you, you're on your phone for half an hour. Yeah, but you got to understand I was with my wife, I'm only listening. You got to be real, I'm on the phone with my wife, I'm only listening. What they say, mujhme aur meri biwi mein ajeeb ittifaq hai. Sone ki goli wo leti hai, sukoon mujhe milta hai. Mujhme aur meri biwi mein ajeeb ittifaq hai. Myself and my wife, we are paired, you know, Bluetooth paired. We paired, we synchronize. She pops a sleeping pill, I feel tranquil. You need that sleeping tablets, man. You take it, I feel tranquilized. So husband and wife having a chat. It's like, who's silly, who's naive, who's foolish? So the husband says, listen, my darling, everybody knows you're so intelligent, you'll never marry a foolish man. Anyway, Allah said, I will pull the plug. And when Allah pulls the plug, my brother, then things change drastically. Things change catastrophically. Nabi alayhi salam making dua. Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Ya muqallib al-qulub, O the turner, O the controller of hearts, keep our hearts aligned, keep our hearts aligned. Repetition. Sahaba said, O Nabi of Allah, you're repeating yourself so much, do you fear we'll abandon you? We're with you all the way. Nabi alayhi salam said, it's not as easy as you claim. You said this, but it's not. Innal qulub bayna isba'ayn min asabi'ir rahman, yuqallibuha kayfa yasha. The hearts of mankind are in the absolute control of Allah. And Allah can divert the heart of any person at any time in any direction. So a person needs to be very toned down when it comes to this. In Madarij al-Salikin it is written, and I read this in the footnotes of Tafsir al-Uthmani. When a person says, Allah, I spent a lot in your path. Allah said, yeah, but it's my money, I gave it to you. He says, yeah, Allah, I recite a lot of Quran. Allah said, but I gave you health and I gave you strength. Allah, I observe a lot of prayer. Allah says, I gave you ability and I gave you strength. And when he turns it around and he says, Allah, I'm grateful to you. You made it possible for me to spend in your path. Allah says, yes, O my servant, but you also have the desire to do good. Oh Allah, I'm grateful to you that you've given me the ability to read Quran. Allah says, yes, O my servant, but you have the love of Quran in your heart. When a servant attributes it to himself, Allah says, listen, you can do nothing without my ability. And when a servant directs it to Allah, Allah recognizes his contribution in the equation. You can see it in Madarij al-Salikin. Oh Dawood, one day I will pull the plug, and then you won't be able to do it. You know, my brother, you thought it was your good nurturing that molded your children, till the black sheep in the family came. Tell the black sheep in the family, no, my boy is from young, they know. My boy will never touch a cigarette. And now the last one, substance abuse. The mouth is quiet, the eyes are dropped down. We all in a humble tone, make dua for the young boy, make dua for the young boy. May Allah protect me, may Allah protect you, my brother. I'm not pontifying myself here, my brother. I'm in no better position than you. I ask Allah to guide me and you. Dawud alayhi salam had divided his days. One day was exclusive ibadat. He would be in his exclusive sanctuary. There would be a butler man in the door. Nobody could come in. One day would be in addressing the crisis of the creation, and one day would be with the family. So he had discipline, and this is how he had divided his days. So it was the day for ibadat and worship, and he was in his exclusive sanctuary. وَهَلْ أَتَاكَ نَبَأُ الْخَصْمِ إِذْ تَسَوَّرُ الْمِحْرَابِ. And have you heard about the disputants when they scaled the sanctuary and they came barging into Dawud alayhi salam? إِذْ دَخَلُوا عَلَى دَاوُودَ فَفَزِعَ مِنْهُمْ. They overwhelmed him. They ambushed him. They scaled the wall. They bypassed procedures and protocol. Dawud alayhi salam was making ibadat. Suddenly there are two people in front of him. خَصْمَانِ بَغَى بَعْضُنَا عَلَى بَعْضٍ فَاحْكُمْ بَيْنَنَا بِالْحَقِّ وَلَا تُشْتِطْ وَهْدِنَا إِلَى سَوَاءِ الصِّرَاطِ. Oh, Dawud, listen, we had an argument and we had an altercation here. This is my brother, he has 99 ewes, female sheep. وَلِيَ نَعْجَةٌ وَاحِدَةٌ. And I only have one. Instead of helping me, he wants to exploit me further and make his 99 into 100. وَعَزَّنِي فِي الْخِطَابِ. And the challenge is, he's got the gift of the gab. So the way he will convince you when you listen, you'll be convinced that 100 belongs to him. You know, every time I have an argument with my wife, not serious, all is okay. She's like, the problem is, that's it, you speak, you see. That's why you can talk. Tamune bolwa aure. So Dawud alayhi salam assessed the situation, he analyzed it, he got into the litigation, he applied his mind, he said, yeah, that's exploitation, that's abuse, it's incorrect for you, and that's the norm with most partners. قَالَ لَقَدْ ظَلَمَكَ بِسُؤَالِ نَعْجَتِكَ إِلَى نِعَاجِهِ وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَيَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. Yeah, that's the norm with most partners, that one abuses and exploits the others. I often mention this quotation, which I read in Khasa'is al-Kubra of Allama Suyuti rahimahullah. It's the Beirut print on page 100. Halima Sa'diya radiyallahu anha says that when I used to nurse Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam, I used to latch him onto the right side, and then he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would drink milk. And then occasionally I would latch Nabi alayhi salam onto the left side, and he sallallahu alayhi wasallam would decline and he would not drink milk. You can read this is where I read the narration. The commentators of hadith, they unpack the multiple possibilities of why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam declined when he was latched onto the left side of the chest of Halima radiyallahu anha. قال بعض العلماء وذلك من عدله صلى الله عليه وسلم لأنه علم أن له شريكا في الرضاعة. The ulama say the reason why the Nabi of Allah, as an infant, when he was nursed and suckled by his foster mother, he declined to drink from the left side, because he was cognizant that he had a foster brother, and he did not want to usurp or devour the right of his brother, advocating recognition for partners even when he was an infant. When we say, the terminology in hadith is irhas, the supernatural performances and achievements and accolades of a Nabi pre-prophethood. Post-prophethood, we refer to it as mu'jiza, but pre-prophethood was irhas, irhasatun nubuwa. But that's it, as an infant, the Nabi of Allah s.a.w. is giving guidance. Anyway, Dawud alayhi salam gets into this here and explains, and then they say, okay, point taken, we appreciate. There's a bit of a smile and a chuckle and they disappear. And lo and behold, Dawud realized, hey, what happened to my claim that a moment doesn't lapse by but that someone is worshipping Allah? I got so busy, so occupied, so consumed, so overwhelmed. وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ وَظَنَّ دَاوُودُ أَنَّمَا فَتَنَّاهُ And it dawned upon Dawood. It appeared to Dawood that, hey, this is the time. I made the claim. But I was overwhelmed by situations outside my control. And I had to revoke my claims that a moment doesn't go by, but that Allah is worshipped. Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi then writes under this, and this is the beauty of the Quran, that from this we learn that when you want to rectify someone, look at the, Allah is the greatest, Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq, and Allah says it as it is. Allah is not shy when it comes to the truth. The infidels made a remark and they said, a great Allah, a profound Quran. But then there's mention of insects, and then there's mention of a bee in the Quran, and then there's a mention of a mosquito in the Quran. So this doesn't gel with the magnanimity and the grandeur of Allah. How do you reconcile such an insignificant creature with such a great Allah? So this really, you know, what puts us off the greatness of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَسْتَحِي أن يضرب مثلا ما بعوضة فما فوقها فأما الذين آمنوا فيعلمون أنه الحق من ربهم وأما الذين كفروا فيقولون ماذا أراد الله بهذا مثلا. Allah is not shy or ashamed or embarrassed to give forth the parable or the similitude or the example of a mosquito or something more insignificant than a mosquito. Those who have iman, they will marvel and say, my Allah is so great, He gave us a point of reflection from a mosquito. But those who are arrogant and obstinate, they would even see the Nabi of Allah and deny. So we learn from this here, this is what Mufti Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi writes, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala communicated this disciplinary exercise to Dawood alayhi salam via a situation and a scenario, and Allah hinted the message to Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam. Obviously Sayyidina Dawood was this great Nabi of Allah, and he understood the hint and the fact that Allah had implied it to him. Our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting with some prominent disbelievers, to with whom it was rather a tall order to get a meeting, the likes of Walid, the likes of Utbah, the likes of Shayba. After much negotiation, the Nabi of Allah secures and procures a meeting with them. He's sitting with these high profile, affluent, prominent disbelievers. While the discussion is in progress, Abdullah ibn Maktum radiallahu anhu, the visually impaired Sahabi, inadvertently interrupts the gathering. He's unaware of the fact that the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is engaged in a very key meeting. And he enters the gathering, عَلِّمْنِي مِمَّا عَلَّمَكَ اللَّهِ O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, teach me something from what Allah has taught you. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam did not say much, but his facial expressions revealed a frown. His facial expressions. And Sahaba had mastered every gesture of Nabi alayhi salam. There was a blessed vein on his blessed forehead, which would protrude at the time of anger. And whenever that vein would protrude, Sahaba used to settle and backstep and, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, forgive us, O Nabi of Allah. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, I had some scriptures of the Torah, and we were just passing it around, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had it, and then I had it, and I started reading. And then Abu Bakr nudged me, look, and I looked, and I realized that vein was protruding, I dropped it, I said, O Nabi Allah, forgive me. I didn't realize this, I was just reading the Torah. Forgive me. That is how they rose to those levels. Today's youngster, he'll give you a dirty look. He'll look you back. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had a gentle eye. If you see Shama'il al-Tirmizi, there was never a direct, offensive, you know, you're looking at someone, that eye is actually making him feel awkward. He's feeling uneasy. You're almost invading him with that vision. You're almost piercing him through. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Umar, do you know that Torah that's in your hand? If the man on whom it was revealed, even he would have left, he had to leave the Torah and follow my Quran. That's all I want to tell you. لو كان موسى حيا لما وسعه إلا اتباعي. There's a whole academic write-up under this ayah in the 20th juz in Surah Qasas.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَهْلَكْنَا الْقُرُونَ الْأُولَى بَصَائِرَ لِلنَّاسِ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ.
That indeed the Torah was great guidance in it, great, you know, messages in it for people. Now in this verse, Allah very lavishly praises the Torah. So how can a person access, in which capacity, for who, when, how? There's a very beautiful academic write-up under this tafsir. Scholars can access it. It is a great read and a riveting read. Anyway, there was a frown on the blessed forelock of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then revealed the verse. I'm quoting on the strength of Bayanul Quran, Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah. It's a bit academic, but I'll try and simplify it. I'm driving the same point that when we want to rectify, just keep the focus. My theme is, we don't have the courage to admit, number one. And number two, when we try and reform people, we harm more than help. We have more of a negative spin and an adverse response than a positive one. Why? Because we don't follow the necessary protocol and adhere to common etiquettes. Imam Shafi rahmatullah alayhi said, تغمدني بنصحك في انفرادي. Brother, take me one side where nobody is watching and I will listen to what you say from the morning till the night. But in public, if you chastise me, I won't listen to one letter, never mind one word. Muhammad bin Idris al-Shafi'i said, تغمدني بنصحك في انفرادي وجنبني النصيحة في الجماعة فإن النصح بين الناس نوع من التوبيخ لا أرضى استماعة. Because when you advising me in public, I'm not convinced on the sincerity of your motive. Do you want to exploit, abuse, victimize, embarrass me? Or you really want to guide, reform and rehabilitate me? I don't know. But when you sit me down quietly, exclusively, one-on-one, then I'm happy to listen to you because I know now you have my interest at heart. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then modestly reproached our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Surely the lofty rank of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam can easily be understood from the language in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses it. But nonetheless, we get the cue and the hint of the diplomacy and the euphemistic approach we ought to engage when addressing someone. And look at how Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah explains it.
عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى عَبَسَ وَتَوَلَّى أَنْ جَاءَهُ الْأَعْمَى.
Allah says, he frowned because a blind person came to him. Hakim al-Ummah rahimahullah writes, Allah did not use a direct address. Allah didn't say, عَبَسْتَ وَتَوَلَّيْتَ. Oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you frowned. Because in that approach, the gravity and the intensity of the reproach is very stern. Why did you frown? So Allah switched from a direct to an absent. He frowned. He frowned. In that there's takhfif in the itab. I don't know if you know, I hope everybody knows what I'm talking here, man. Allah has reduced, read, not my words, who am I to talk? Allah has reduced the impact. What you did, O my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was wrong. But when Allah approaches it, Allah uses a very euphemistic way, a very diplomatic. He frowned. Abasa. Watawalla. And he turned away.
Anja'ahul a'ma. Anja'ahul a'ma.
Because a blind person came to him.
Wama yudrika. وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَذَّكَّ أَوْ يَذَّكَّرُ فَتَنْفَعَهُ الذِّكْرَ.
And oh Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know, perhaps this visually impaired man, let me just mention something here, just so you can appreciate this statement more aptly, in a more holistic way. The ulama say, the ijtihad and the logic of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, and this is again Hakim al-Ummah's words, that these disbelievers, to use a medical metaphor, they had a chronic condition. They had advanced cancer. They had a malignant condition which is spreading throughout the body. While Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu was a relatively stable, healthy man, he had a regular flu or a basic fever. We can deal with this, we can store that. This is crisis, this is malignant, this is spreading, this is cancerous in the entire body. We can't delay here. So the logic and the analogy and the ijtihad of the Nabi of Allah was, oh Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum, just hang it there for me now. This is cancerous, this is crisis here. You know what, I have to be with them, they got to jump the queue, I'll be with you. And the ulama say, up to this point, the ijtihad of Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was correct, and that is correct, that a person who has a more severe condition, he warrants urgent treatment versus someone who has a regular condition. But then Hakim al-Ummah makes one amazing statement. He says the logic is correct. The man who has a more severe condition warrants immediate intervention, provided he seeks cure. Provided he seeks cure. He's got cancer, he admits he has cancer, and he says, I want cure. But if he's got cancer, and he's got an attitude, and he says, who said I'm sick? What's the problem? وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ إِلَّا سَبِيلَ الرَّشَادِ وَمَا أَهْدِيكُمْ. Fir'aun had the greatest cancer, and he said, I'm the one who cures cancer. I guide the people. So, oh my Habib, what you did was correct. These people were in a more advanced, but they denying the condition, leave alone instituting treatment. When the situation is such, then treat the man with the flu who admits I have a flu and I want to recover from the flu. My brother, my message to you and my message to myself is admit you're wrong. Be open, be candid, be honest, be transparent. Stop your arrogance, let me stop my arrogance. Stop your pride, let me stop my pride. How long are you going to run like this? How long are you going to hoodwink? How long are you going to put wool over the eyes of people? Deceive this one, deceive that one. You know what, do this to this one. How long are you going to run this race? وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّهُ يَزَّكَّى. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know, perhaps Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiallahu anhu would reform himself totally by listening to you. Allah didn't only say he came to listen and learn from you. Allah captured and encapsulated his inner passion. Allah said, وَأَمَّا مَنْ جَاءَكَ يَسْعَى. وَأَمَّا, he came running, he came excited, he came enthusiastic, he came with this fervor and this passion. وَهُوَ يَخْشَى. Now see what the Mufassirin write. So Allah says, عَبَسَ, he frowned, وَتَوَلَّ, he turned, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ. And O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know? So here Allah resumes a direct address, lest it suggests or implies aversion from the Nabi of Allah. So initially, to reduce the gravity, Allah doesn't say directly. You say, you know what, some of my children are hurting me. One, you say, you know, you finish me up, man. One of my boys are hurting me, man. One of my boys, a general address. But you know I'm talking to you. There's a difference between the two. Allah first used an indirect, and then Allah came direct. And the wisdom of the direct was, so that continuous indirect must not imply aversion. Our Quran, my brother, connect yourself to it. Really, I cannot tell you, I study this and I have no knowledge. I have nothing. But when I read these little things, I forget the time. I become oblivious of the hour of the night. It is so tranquilizing. It is so soothing. It consumes your heart, mind, and your whole anatomy. It's like this is just three ayat. We just started Surah Abbas. We're not going on. Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma وَمِمَّا يُرْوَى عَنْ أَدَبِهِ وَأَدَبِ أَخِيهِ أَنَّهُمَا رَآ أَعْرَابِيًّا يُخَفِّفُ الْوُضُوءَ وَالصَّلَاةَ. Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, the young boys. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him and he said, إِنَّ ابْنِي هَذَا سَيِّد. This boy of mine is a real leader. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يُصْلِحُ بِهِ بَيْنَ فِئَتَيْنِ عَظِيمَتَيْنِ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. The Ummah will realize his talent in the years post my demise, when he will rise up to reconcile between two factions of this Ummah. Hassan radiallahu anhu resembled my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the belly button going upwards. While Hussein radiallahu anhu resembled Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam from the belly button going down, Fatima radiallahu anha, ma kanat mishyatuha tukhti'u min mishyati Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Fatima radiallahu anha's walk was a precise walk of Nabi alayhi salam. Every movement, every gesture, Allah had captured the appearance, the walk of Nabi alayhi salam in mother and her two sons. Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. During the reign of Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu arda, he had given 1,000 dirhams to Abdullah ibn Umar, his son, and he had given 5,000 to Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma. So his son Abdullah, he challenged his father Umar. He said, "Oh my dad, Islam does not condone nepotism. Islam does not endorse or sanction that you do a political favor to me, but neither does Islam approve that you discriminate against me." Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma, I salute their merit, but all truth be said, they were kids playing in the street of Medina when I was in the act of battle. How do you give them a 5,000 and leave me with a lousy 1,000? Read the narration. وَهُمَا يَلْعَبَانِ فِي تُرُقَاتِ الْمَدِينَةِ. They were playing on the streets of Medina. And you know, my father, I was there in front. And when it comes time to distribute, I get a lousy 1,000. And they walk away with a handsome 5,000. And Sayyidina Umar said, "Point taken, my son. Your concern is merited. I am not viewing you against them. I am viewing their mother against your mother. Fill the entire world with my wife and your mother. It can't equate Fatima radiallahu anha. No offense to you, nor to my wife or your mother. Ma wafayna bi ummik." I look at them and I say, "Oh, their mother is Fatima. Finish. That is who my Nabi loved the most. My Nabi loved the most." Sayyidina Umar said, "Allah has given me a lot, but I'm green with envy for Ali radiallahu anhu for 3 things. Ali, I salute you and I'm open to say it. Number one, Allah gave you Fatima in your nikah. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu went to propose. I don't want to go into the details. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa modestly declined. Sayyidina Umar went forward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa modestly declined. Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu prepared Abdurrahman ibn Auf. Perhaps the Nabi of Allah is anticipating you. You go. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa modestly declined. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu came. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, "Ali, I've been waiting for you. Ali, I've been waiting for you. Ali, I've been waiting for you. My Fatima is going nowhere else. My Fatima is going nowhere else. Zuffuni, Zuffuni, get me married, get me married, get me married." "To who, O Ali? To who, O Umar? I want to get married to the daughter of Ali radiallahu anhu, so I can enter the bloodline of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam." One youngster was getting married. I asked him, what's your motivation? He said, "Oh, what a question." You know, his brother had taken a second wife. You're not going down that road now. But anyway, his wife said, "Yeah, he got married, the second reason for lust." So I said, "Ben, and the first reason was for what?" "The first nikah was for what?" He said, "Yeah, that's there, but you know..." I said, "What?" "Zuffuni, Zuffuni, get me married." "To who?" "To the daughter of Ali." "Why?" "I want to enter the bloodline of Nabi alayhi salam." Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, "No, O Umar, I can't get you married to this daughter of mine. Please, O Ali, my vision and my passion is nothing other than I want a niche and I want to get into the bloodline." Because the Nabi of Allah said, "Yanqati'u kulla sababin wa nasabin illa sababi wa nasabi." On the day of Qiyamah, lineage, ancestry, family, ties, this is not going to help you. But yes, if you're related to me, it's going to assist you. فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ وَلَا يَتَسَاءَلُونَ. When the trumpet will be blown, فَإِذَا نُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَلَا أَنْسَابَ. What's your son? What's your father's name? What's your brother's name? What family? What lineage? Where you come from? Nothing, nothing. I fly often. The one brother told me the other day, he said, "The way you fly, you're going to end up becoming a musafir at home." And I see this, and it just reminds me, you're identified by a boarding pass. If You hold in a first class boarding pass. The man in economy could be 10 times wealthier than you. But for the duration of the flight, all respect and reverence is given to him. There's nothing else. Your status, your complexion, your recognition, your bank balance. For now, my brother, the salute is the man who's got a darajatul ula. Or darajatul rijalil amal. The whole status score for now is about, that's it. And on the day of Qiyamah, if your boarding pass got taqwa. If your boarding pass got taqwa. Yeah. Right. Sir, we'll call you up. You're free to go. Thank you. Please. Yeah. That's it. You walk in. And for many, they flash the boarding pass also out. The first class shows on top. It's all about that. And it just reminds me. The malaika will just look. What's it? Is there taqwa there or not? If not, wait. We'll let you know. You barely enter. You exit from the lounge. You enter into the plane. And then again, complimentary drinks start. This poor guy never had a lounge. He waited the longest. He gets into the queue. He's sitting there and no drinks for him. So can you wait? The flight is leaving now. Can you be patient, please? There's so many passengers. Just be patient. Subhanallah. Alam ya'tikum nadhir. There the malaika are taunting you. Don't blame us. You weren't told about this. You weren't told about this. Anyway, Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma. So what did Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu say? It is the mother of Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma. And hence Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu anhu then got married to the daughter of Umar radiyallahu anhu, to the daughter of Ali radiyallahu anhu. Umm Kulthum. The disparity in age, my conservative understanding was about 40 years. And by the way, one day she was back answering Umar. Can you imagine Umar, right? And then a wife 40 years younger. And read it in Tabi'ul Ghafilin. But it's an exclusive men program, so I can let go a little bit, yeah. No, I gave a talk on Wednesday, and I said to the men, my brother, be loyal and faithful. And I said, my sister, if you're listening to me, then when your man comes home, make him a king. Make him a king, my sister. Stand at the door, be dolled up, be dressed up, receive him. Nabi alayhi salam seen Sayyidina Uthman. Ruqayya radiallahu anhu was massaging the head of Uthman. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, my daughter, keep on massaging the head of your husband. In that is your jannat. My sister, receive your husband at the door with a smile, dressed up. Not that wagar smell. No, it doesn't help. I'm in an office. Not me, I'm talking on behalf of everyone. There's aroma, there's fragrance, you know, it's daunting, it's challenging, it's inciting, it's inviting, it's intriguing. I need to come home, you need to be dolled up, you need to be all dressed up, all chores put ashore, receive me at the door with a broad smile, put everything else aside, give me that warm, loving embrace. And that's how we're going to turn the wheel and marriage is going to go forward. Just Wednesday I had a program and I was addressing these issues. Anyway, Hassan and Hussein radiyallahu anhuma, they see this old man, he's deficient in his wudu, so they go up to him and they say, Anta Shaykhun Kabir, you're an elderly, aged, skilled, competent man, we young, we juniors, we juvenile, we lack the experience, we lack the maturity, we're just going to go through the motions and the rituals of ablution, would you just alert us where we slip up? So the old man says, that's fine, Allahu Akbar, that is when the ummah were leading, that is when the youth were taking us ahead. That is when the youth were taking us. It galls me. It kills me. My heart bursts into pieces. How many times an old man asks his son, boy, show me this phone. Dad, you need to know this, man. My grandfather also is so stupid and silly, man. You just go on this. You think in the world of you because you know one technology more than him. He doesn't know it. He's asking you. I always say when somebody is asking you directions, he's asking you because he doesn't know. You go by the traffic light. You know where the shop. No, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. I don't know. You know where the supermarket... No, I don't know. That's what I'm asking you. If I knew where the supermarket and where the garage was and where the landmark was, I wouldn't be asking you. We give directions like the man knows it. I travel often and I say this to people. Wallah, at the airport, an act of ibadah, take people to their boarding gates. take people to their boarding gates. And I'm not claiming it, but Allah has put me in the situation. You have time, you have ease, you fly in luxury and ease. You see a man walking old, he's looking at his boarding pass, he doesn't understand which terminal he is, he doesn't walk him, say, no problem, uncle, come, I take you. We take the train, we get to the terminal, go leave him at his gate. And where he's going for Umrah. He's going for, this is an act of ibadat. Instead of sitting there and roaming our gazes and doing so much wrong, you can see the man is lost, he's lost from his group. It happens all the time. What an act of ibadat. There is immense reward. And say, oh Allah, as I have tried to put this man on his path to his flight, keep me on the path to you, oh my Allah. So this was the respect of the youth of that time. So they go through the motions of wudu. The old man is observing and he's realizing that their wudu is above board. It's compliant, it's competent, it's skilled, it's correct. And he realizes and he says, oh young boys, it's not your mistake, the mistake is mine. This can only be the grandchildren of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This can only be the grandchildren of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How you find youngsters speak, it kills you. And simple thing to probably show an app or go onto a particular folder or understand these things, because this is how they are born into technology and they know it better. And it's no real feather in your cap. It's no real feather in your cap. If you know all this, but at the cost of losing all your values of life, then what did you achieve? Purani raah kya chuti ke ab tak manzil nahi milti. Purani raah kya chuti ke ab tak manzil nahi milti. That you've latched onto innovation, you embraced it, and that's good, you're hands-on. It's good, you need to embrace it, you need to move on with times. But not at the cost of losing your value system, not at the cost of losing your fundamentals and principles. Then it's too pricey, it's costing too much, it's encroaching, infringing, violating your fundamentals. The narration is in Mu'atta Imam Muhammad on page 154. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is leading the prayer. A sahabi comes and joins the congregation. He joins the congregation, and then the Nabi of Allah bows into ruku. And as the Nabi of Allah goes into ruku, he has the passion to also secure the rak'at. So he commences at the door with his salah. And then he starts inching in salah and makes his way and joins the salah. The Nabi of Allah hears of a shuffle behind. After the salah, he discovers that this sahabi stood, you know, commenced his prayer from the door. And he started walking in salah. Now if it was us, we like, brother, next time, let's start from home, man. Start from home, man. Yeah. And, you know, it's condescending. It's derogatory. It's offensive. A person loses his whole spirit of the day in two words. Only a Nabi can say this, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam complimented him, acknowledged him, praised him, and modestly rectified him. Zadakallahu hirsan wa la ta'ud. I salute your passion. I admire your spirit. May Allah increase you many folds in that passion to secure the rak'at. But the action is wrong. The action is wrong. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is having a meeting. The narration is in Ibn Kathir in the 24th juz in Surah Mu'min. One is Surah Mu'minun, one is Surah Mu'min. Mufassirin writes something so amazing about Surah Mu'minun. Allah starts it and ends it with the same message. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And Allah ends it. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Indeed, the believers are successful and the disbelievers are unsuccessful. Surah Mu'min, the Hawameem, they are known as Arus al-Qur'an, the bride of the Qur'an. Dibaj al-Qur'an, the silk of the Qur'an. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting. Then he rotates his gaze and he says, oh, where's this one young boy? Very strong, muscular, robust. I don't really see him. They said, oh, Umar, it's got a bit of a drinking habit. It's got a bit of a drinking habit. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu says, okay, the program has been put on hold. The program has been put on hold. Fada'a Umaru katibahu. Umar radiallahu anhu calls his scribe and he says, right. Just the other day I was teaching the ayah in class. Verse 282 and 283 of Surah Baqarah. The longest verse of the Quran. In which Allah speaks about the importance of capturing our transactions when it is credit based and having a scribe to record it and the many benefits. The ulama write in this one ayah of the Quran, there are more than 20 principles that are deduced. يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تداينتم. I'm telling the students, how can a human legislate this? How can a human make this? I'll just run you through it, you know, just basic. Umar radiallahu anhu said, call my scribe, we need to write.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا تداينتم بدين إلى أجل مسمى فاكتبوا.
Oh, you who believe, when you enter into a credit-based transaction, then it is meritorious to capture it. It's not mandatory, it's meritorious. Al-amru lil-istihbab.
وَلْيَكْتُبْ بَيْنَكُمْ كَاتِبٌ بِالْعَدْلِ.
And let the scribe write and record the details of the transaction justly.
وَلَا يَأْبَ كَاتِبٌ أَن يَكْتُبَ كَمَا عَلَّمَهُ اللَّهُ فَلْيَكْتُبْ.
And him whom Allah has given the ability to write, because the Arab by and large was unlettered. هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا. في الأميين, the general Arabs were أمي. They were unlettered. They were not school. So few, handful of them were literate. So those amongst you who are literate and your skill has been called upon, then please make your skill available. If Allah has given you this, the ability to speak, then use your ability for the deen of Allah. If Allah has given you the talent to write, then use your talent for the deen of Allah. But hang on, this is the balance of Islam. Tomorrow you phone me and say, you have to come for a program.
وَلَا يُضَرَّ كَاتِبٌ وَلَا شَهِيدٌ.
Look at the balance of Islam. If you have the ability to write, then write. And you who need the skills and the abilities of the scribe, be cognizant to his schedule and don't impose on him.
وَلَا يُضَارْ, don't harm him.
The witness has been told, وَأَشْهِدُ. When you've been told to give witness, come forward, because how will justice prevail? If you shy away, no, I don't want to get involved. No, it will implicate. No, come forward. But you, on the other hand, if you need, don't harm him. Look at his time, look at his ease, look at his convenience.
وَلْيُمْلِلِ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ الْحَقُّ وَلْيَتَّقِ اللَّهَ رَبَّهُ وَلَا يَبْخَسْ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا.
The person upon whom the due is, he must dictate. يُمْلِل, لُغَتَان. There are two lugats. أَمْلَى يُمْلِي إِمْلَى أَمْلَى لَيُمْلِلُ إِمْلَال. وَلْيُمْلِل بَمَعْنَى وَلْيُمْلِي. He must dictate. It's his responsibility. فَإِنْ كَانَ سَفَإِنْ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. If he is weak or he doesn't have the ability, then فَلْيُمْلِلْ وَلِيُّهُ بِالْعَدْلِ. His guardian must take responsible and with justice capture it. Absolute detail. There's no disparity, there's no discrepancy, there's no contradiction, there's no inconsistency. These are the details of Islam. More than 20 principles of life that ought to govern us can be deduced from one verse of the Quran, Surah Baqarah, verse 282. Sayyidina Umar said, call my scribe, right? Min Umar ibn al-Khattab. From Umar to so and so. Amma ba'd, fa'inni ahmadu Allah alladhi la ilaha illa hu, ghafir al-dhambi wa qabil al-tawbi, shadid al-iqabi dhi al-tawli, la ilaha illa hu, ilayhi al-masir. I praise that Allah before you, who has might, who has power, who has strength, who has grandeur, and who forgives, and is merciful, and is compassionate. Both verses. The man looked at it. Sayyidina Umar told all those that are present, this letter is going to our brother, engage in dua, that when the letter reaches him, it must have a positive effect on him. It must have a positive effect. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ الرَّجُلَ كِتَابُ عُمَرْ جَعَلَ يَقْرَأُهُ وَيُرَدِّدُهُ. He started reading it and he started crying. حَتَّى بَلَّلَتْ دُمُوعُهُ لِحْيَتَهُ. His entire beard was drenched with tears. ثُمَّ نَزَعَ. He then abandoned wrong for أَحْسَنَ النَّزْعَ. He then became one of the most reformed individuals of Medina. Sayyidina Umar said, I'm asking you people, whenever you see your brother fall apart or he strays, please institute diplomacy and wisdom and try and rescue him and don't push him deeper inside. The narration of Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, let's change strides momentarily. And ask ourselves, when we are told, both sides of the coin, and that's the message. Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting with him, is Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali, very handsome Sahabi, Yusuf hadhihi al-Ummah, known as the Yusuf of this Ummah, radiallahu anhu. Somebody releases flatulence, somebody releases wind. Now one way to cover up is like, brother, who did this? But you know you're guilty. Brother, you should be sensitive. In school we all did it. I always mention that, probably you heard it in one of my talks, the two types of gas, the loud and proud, and the silent but violent. The hadith of Muslim Sharif, when the adhan is called out, the devil releases flatulence and he runs to Rauha. You want to flush out devilish influence, give adhan. He runs, because it goes against his very message. He's out to take you away from Allah, and adhan is calling to Allah. So it becomes unbearable. He can't digest the adhan. He runs to Rauha. The narrator says Rauha was more than 30 miles from Medina. When the adhan was called out, and then Sayyidina Bilal calling out the adhan. Sayyidina Bilal calling out the adhan. Radiyallahu anhu. Mali asma'u daffana alayka wara'i fil jannah. Bilal, what's this all about? Every time I'm in Jannah, I just hear your footsteps tagging behind me. Somebody says, brother, I seen you in a dream. You were in Makkah. Well, alhamdulillah, many people had this dream. That's how conceited people are. That's how inflated. That's how conceited we are. You know, it's not the first time I've been told this. It's not the first time I've been told this. Back off, my brother. Forgive my language, man. Mali asma'u daf. Bilal, what's this all about, man? Every time I'm in Jannah, you tag in. Nothing, no credit to me, O Nabi of Allah. I got nothing, O Nabi of Allah. No, Bilal, there is something to you, Bilal. Whenever I'm in Jannah, you behind me. No, O Nabi of Allah, there's nothing to me. No, Bilal, tell me. Well, I don't know if this is it, but whenever my wudu breaks, I renew my wudu and offer 2 rakat salah. Bilal, that's it. Just hold on to it. Just hold on to it. Look at the modesty of the Sahaba. Look at the humility of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum wa arda. When Iskandariya was conquered, Muawiyah bin Khudayj radiallahu anhu. He was, monitoring the situation. And he got some information and he came. Sayyidina Umar was pacing in anxiety. We want updates. Umar radiallahu anhu pacing. He walks in at midday, siesta. So he comes to the masjid. He said, Amirul Mu'mineen qail, ay yanamu al-qailula. I think Amirul Mu'mineen is resting. Sayyidina Umar got up. He said, Muawiyah, what did you say? He said, no, I thought it's midday, you sleeping. So I said, I'll come later. He said, and this pierces my heart. It pierces my heart. He says, oh Muawiyah, إن نمت الليلة ضيعت نفسي وإن نمت النهار ضيعت الرعية فكيف النوم بين هذين. O Muawiyah, if I sleep at night, when will I chat with Allah? And if I sleep in the day, when will I execute my duty with the creation? You find me time between these two duties and I'll put my head on a pillow. You find me time. Allah is my witness. Every day I'm overwhelmed with so many queries, social, WhatsApp, emails, lecture requests, half I cannot read. And I say, Allah, how do I juggle? But obviously it is because I have time for my own recreation. And I have time, I often say the pious had barakah in their life. Why, my brother? Zero time in sin and minimum time in needs. Why did the pious have barakah in their life? Zero time, zero, zero. Zero time in sin and minimum time in needs. I need hours to peruse. I need hours to look at wrong. So there's a chunk of my time goes. And then it comes to needs, it's lavish, it's a spread, it's a long thing, it's a, hours run. Now it's no longer come for the walima. We invite, spend the afternoon with us. Spend the afternoon, overlooks the lake. Yeah, we haven't, my brother, I got 10 commitments. I've got 10 commitments. You're defeating the essence of the sunnah. You're defeating the essence of the sunnah. The Nabi of Allah got married. He put Sayyidina Anas at the door. Anas, whoever you see, tell them it's the walima of Muhammad Sassim, they invited. Two conditions. They must come in 10 at a time because the house is small and they all must read Bismillah. Anyone and everyone, tell them it's the walima of Nabi alayhi salam. Come spend the afternoon with us. Runs into hours, lavish. And when you tell the man, brother, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُ اتَّقِ اللَّهَ. Is it your daughter? Is your money? So just, you know what? Let me be diplomatic here. You know, I was last week in Chipata. So the Gujarati culture is quite strong there. So I say, you know, some people, they speak one language, but they can swear in 3 languages. Some people, they speak one language, but when it comes to vulgar and obscene, they linguists. They can hop from languages. Allahu Akbar. Anyway, what did Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu say? You find me time. You find me time. In the night, if I sleep in the night, when will I talk to my Allah? And if I sleep in the day, when will I discharge the obligation of the creation? فَكَيْفَ النَّوْمْ بَيْنَ هَذَيْنَ فَكَيْفَ النَّوْمْ بَيْنَ هَذَيْنَ Where's the time between these two? So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting, Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali radiallahu anhu, someone releases wind. Umar radiallahu anhu said, عَزَمْتُ عَلَىٰ صَاحِبِ الرِّيْءِ I insist on the man who's done this, stand up, excuse yourself and make wudu. Jarir ibn Abdullah Bajali held Umar radiallahu anhu saying, Umar, can I talk to you quickly? Yes. أَوَ يَتَوَضَّأُ الْقَوْمُ جَمِيعًا How about just addressing this and asking everybody to make wuzu? Oh, you're a brilliant man. You're a brilliant man. If I'm in that position in anger and rage, oh, and now you also got a big mouth. Must be you, your wuzu broke. That's why you want everybody. That's it. Nobody can tell me, my brother. Nobody can tell me. May Allah reward my honorable, venerable dad. For a good 15 years of my life, he was this critic to me in my talks. He was this harsh critic to me. And when I look down, I cannot thank him adequately. For 15 years of my life, this is how you should speak. Your time is out. Your body language is wrong. There isn't a smile on your face. You're not greeting properly. And sometimes I used to come home, Allah is my witness, I used to cry. Ya Allah, will my dad ever be happy? Ya Allah, will my dad? But may Allah reward him with tears in my eyes. May Allah reward him over and over. I need someone to be telling me. You need somebody to be telling you, my brother. Allah tells the Nabi, where are we? Allah addresses his Nabi. Nuh alayhi salam said, oh Allah, that's my son, that's my son. The ark is taking. Allah, the floods are taking. Ya Nuhu, innahu laysa min ahlik, innahu amalun ghayru salih, fala tas'alni ma laysa laka bihi ilm. Oh Nuh, don't ever say that's your son. You and him don't share the same religion. It's not a matter of blood, it's a matter of religion. And Nuh, in future, don't ask me things you don't know. I'm warning you. I'm giving you a verbatim translation. Ulama are sitting here. Who am I to open my mouth? The words of the Quran. Inni a'idhuk, inni a'idhuk. Oh Nuh, I'm warning you. I walk in my office. I'm above law. Nobody talks to me. Nobody can address me. What's going to happen to us, my brother? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ni'ma sayyidu kunta fil jahiliyyah. Wa ni'ma sayyidu anta fil islam. Oh Jarir, you are amazing pre-Islam. And you are just so impressive post-Islam. I salute your advice. Jazakallah, my brother. We all. If it was us, why must I make wuzu? My wuzu didn't break. You can ask the ulama, it's wasting water. Oh. MashaAllah. Wow. Oh, now you understand wasting water. But having an illicit relation, data is free. I was like, where's the logic, my brother? Where's the logic? Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting. He asked one brother, Kaifa asbahta? Brother, how's things going? How was your morning? And this is Sayyidina Umar. And here you get the most strange, unusual answer. Brother, how was your morning? My morning? Asbahtu, uhibbu al-fitna, wa akrahu al-haq. Me, I got up in the morning, I'll be honest with you. I dislike the truth. I despise the truth. And I love fitna. You know, the brothers are walking. Don't look that side. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Where's the astaghfirullah? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Don't. Astaghfirullah. Ya Rome ma'azallah kehna asan. Ya Rome, it's a long poem. The poet says, when you sit in with friends and somebody talks haram, astaghfirullah, la hawla inna lillah. It's easy because you're not challenged with the fitna. But to drop your gaze when you challenge, that's the real amazing ability. That's the real thing. Sahaba were honest. When wealth came into Medina, Sayyidina Umar said, Allah, I'm not going to say, hey, this is money, we don't like it. Allah, we love money. He said, hey, look at him, he likes money. And you, brother? Yeah, but not so much. No, my brother. Who doesn't like it? Who doesn't like it? Sayyidina Umar said, Allah, I'm not going to say I don't like it. I love wealth. I'm asking you, Allah, that which I love, let me spend it in a manner in which you love. Allah, I love money. I love it. Sayyidina Umar said, the Quran says, وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ وَإِنَّهُ لِحُبِّ الْخَيْرِ لَشَدِيدٌ The love of wealth is intense in man. It's part of his anatomy. It's intrinsic to him. It's part of his nature. Well, why, you know, act this? Be honest and sincere and say it as it is. So me, I got up in a way, I despise the truth, and I love fitna. And I offer salah without wudu, and I got so many things even Allah doesn't have. Now imagine you saying this to Sayyidina Umar, and he asks you nicely, how was your morning? Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu was there. I don't know, I just love it. I fly and I look at adults, corporates, and sitting and playing games. Really, ya Allah, ya Allah. How do I thank you for deen? I know there's a kid in every adult, but this looks like few children in you. It's like it's a long haul. You're playing games. I'm serious. He's a high flyer. You can see he's you know, aristocratic. He's very, dressed well, attired well. Everything is up class. And he's playing games. Like, are you real, my brother? Look at the world. Read. Where has the ummah lost their vision? Games. You're just waiting to reach the cruising altitude where you can take out your kitab and start reading. A believer shouldn't, and digest what they say. Reading without reflecting is like eating without digesting. Last week when I was there in Lilongwe, so some sisters sent the kitabs and asked me to write some advice and everything. So I wrote this for this one sister. She reads a lot. I said, this is my advice to you. Reading without reflecting is like eating without digesting. Digest this. Let it apply this. Let there be some reflection in your life. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, they said, oh Umar, wait Umar, there's a way we can deal with this here. They were open to be addressed. He said, the man told you he despises the truth. The Quran says, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنْهُ تَحِيدُ. That death comes with the truth. And every man, by his very nature, is apprehensive to death. So when he despises the truth, probably it means he's apprehensive to death. And it's not all that bad, because we all are like that. When we hear death, we kind of withdraw. So Sayyidina Umar said, okay, you got a point. And then he said he loves fitna. The Quran says, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ fitna. Your wealth and your children is a fitna. At least he loves his own fitna. He's not loving somebody else's fitna. One of my early jokes when I just started speaking, I won't forget that. Because one brother came to me and said, I remember you Tuesdays. He came to me and said, I've got this problem. I said, yeah, go for it, brother. What's it all about? He said, you know when I'm in prayer? I said, yeah, and then what? He says, I start thinking of my wife, man. I said, cool, brother. At least you're not thinking of your neighbor's wife. At least he loves his own fitna. Today, my brother, what they say? Marriage is like going to the restaurant. You order yours, then you say, hey, the pizza looks nice. Your mind is going elsewhere. Innama amwalukum wa aul. Sayyidina Umar has been told. He's been told. Anybody opens their mouth, they lose their job. They're victimized. My opening comments, I can't be told, my brother. Some time ago, as a colleague of mine, I observed some flaw in him. And I was busy gathering my thoughts. How am I going to approach him? Sensitive? Is he going to think I'm trying to put my weight and my muscle on him? And lo and behold, before I could tell him, fate has it such, he comes to me and he says, Mawlana, I need to tell you, I've observed one wrong of yours. I said, okay, go for it, brother. And he tells it to me, and then I told myself, no, now there's no way I'm going to say this. You know, but Allah has given me the forum, I can say it loudly to everyone, but I'm not addressing the wrong itself. Because if I'm going to go back, it's now tit for tat. It's one for one. Now, how often in an argument, more so with spouses, initially it's the issue at hand, and then it's scoring points. Now we've long lost the debate. We've moved away from there. Now we're over with what the issue was at hand. Now we're going back to the wedding day. How many of those people are in their covers already? That uncle there was giving out the meat and everything, and you've seen what he's moved on by. His hisab is also over. Now we've lost the whole thing. Now it's tit for tat. Then the third thing he said, that I perform wudu, I perform salah without wudu. Salah in Arabic linguistically could mean salutations also. I send salutations. So you can send salutations on Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam without wudu. There's no offense. Usalli could mean prayer, it could mean salutation. Sayyidina Umar said, that's fine. And the fourth thing, Wali fil ardi ma laysa lillahi fis sama. I have a lot of things on the earth which Allah doesn't have. He's got wife and children, Allah doesn't have, and Allah doesn't need it. In Tafsir Uthmani, the concluding verses of Surah Bani Israel, Mullah Shabir Ahmad Uthmani writes so amazingly, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. Sometimes you take help from your junior. So a father taking help from his son. Now Allah negates that. وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي لَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. Or you take help from a rival, a spouse from a spouse, a partner from a partner, a neighbor from a neighbor. Or the more common thing, we all take help and aid and assistance from a senior. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ وَلِيٌّ مِّنَ الذُّلِّ. And he doesn't have any guardian due to weakness. So Allah said, when you heard this, وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا, then say Allahu Akbar. I'm not saying that's the words of the Quran. وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. That I haven't taken help from any junior. I haven't, there is no rival. And there is nobody above me. So when this is how great Allah is, then وَكَبِّرْهُ تَكْبِيرًا. When Sayyidina Umar heard this, he said, بِئْسَ الْمَقَامُ مَقَامٌ لَيْسَ فِيهِ عَلِي. I won't want to be moving around if Ali is not present. I would have issued the wrong verdict. May Allah help you and reward you for rescuing my ruling. May Allah reward you, O Ali, for rescuing my guidance and my opinion. The narration is in Bayhaqi. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu says, I was with my dad in Hajj. So Sayyidina Umar, we spotted a horseman. فَإِذَا نَحْنُ بِرَاكِبْ. We seen a horseman. Umar radiallahu anhu said, wait, I think this brother is looking for us. Now what's our duty? He's looking, keep on walking, just keep on walking. Yeah. لُوَبْ فَنَخْ مَنْ لُوَبْ فَنَخْ. I don't know, my heart breaks, my brother. Forgive me, I'm not tramping your toes. I cry to my Allah. Abu Hafs said, إِذَا جَلَسْتَ لِلنَّاسِ فَكُنْ وَاعِظًا لِنَفْسِكَ وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكَ إِجْتِمَاعُهُمْ عَلَيْكَ فَإِنَّهُمْ يُرَاقِبُونَ ظَاهِرَكَ وَاللَّهُ رَقِيبٌ عَلَى بَاطِنِكَ. When you address people, then don't be thrilled by how you mesmerize them. And don't be impressed by how you leave them spellbound. They're only looking at your charisma, and Allah is looking at your intentions. Allah is looking at my intentions, my brother. So I'm not in any enviable position. But these are harsh realities. These are harsh realities. Sayyidina Umar said, wait, let him come. The man comes. He halts. Fabaka, he starts crying. Look at the words of Umar radiallahu anhu. He said, إِن كُنْتَ غَارِمًا أَعَنَّاكَ إِن كُنْتَ خَائِفًا أَمَنَّاكَ إِن كُنْتَ كَرِهْتَ جَوَارَ قَوْمٍ حَوَّلْنَاكَ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا فَتُقْتَلْ. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. We love Umar. We will die loving Umar. And that's our salient feature. We will name our children and our grandchildren. And we just hope on the day of Qiyamah, Allah gives us some time with Umar in Jannah. Sayyidina Umar said, listen brother, if you have debts, we'll settle your debts. If you're in fear, we'll give you amnesty. If you're unhappy where you live in, we'll relocate you. But if you hurt someone and kill someone, we got no space for you. We'll do the same and the rule of Allah will apply and you will be also killed. Straight, as it is. Listen, if you're in fear, we'll give you amnesty. If you got debts, we'll settle you. If you're not happy where you're staying, we'll relocate you. But if you did a wrong, you got no shelter here. He said, Sharibtul Khamra. Oh Umar, I must be honest, I drank alcohol. And I'm not proud of my wrong, but the way Abu Musa dealt with my wrong, it has just made me more unpleasant and more obstinate. Wa inna Aba Musa halaqani wa sawwada wajhi wa tafa bi fil nas. When I did the wrong, Abu Musa Ash'ari radiallahu anhu shaved my hair. He paraded me amongst people. I was humiliated. And my ego was whispering three things to me. فَحَدَّثَتْ نَفْسِي بِإِحْدَى ثَلَاثٍ إِمَّا أَنْ أَتَّخِذَ سَيْفًا فَأَضْرِبْ بِهِ أَبَا مُوسَى. Either I unsheath my sword and I get into a one-on-one, you know, tit-for-tat, and I get into a skirmish and into an argument and a fight with Abu Musa Ash'ari. But I said, no, he's a great sahabi, don't do that. Then the second whisper that came to me, أَنْ أَتِيكَ فَتُحَوِّلَنِي إِلَى الشَّامِ فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَعْرِفُونَنِي. That I come and ask you, relocate me. I don't have a face in my society after what has happened. I'm not proud about my wrong. But I'm not happy the way the thing was dealt with. If you can relocate me to another place. And I must be honest, Umar, you know what was the third whisper that came to me? actually felt like joining the kuffar and drinking more. My brother, we have to deal with our youth very, very sensitively. I often say this, jamaats of youth come to our masjid. We have protocol in our masjid, but be tolerant with these young boys that come to the masjid. Be flexible when they somewhat don't adhere to the necessary respect of the masjid and the facilities of the masjid. I'm not condoning or advocating. I'm calling for tolerance given their vulnerability in the outside world. I'm just saying, show a little respect to them. Let me get in and clean up. It's all right, we'll vacuum again one more day. We'll do it together. These are youth. These are my youngsters and your youngsters. We need to win them. I actually had a whisper to go back and drink more. Sayyidina Umar started crying. He started crying. He said, what you did is wrong. And Allah forgive me, in the days of Jahiliyyah, I also drank. Look at Sayyidina Umar to help the man. In the days of darkness, I also drank. Then he wrote, إِلَىٰ أَبِي مُوسَىٰ الْأَشْعَرِ فَإِنَّ فُلَانَ ابْنَ فُلَانَ أَتَّيْمِ أَخْبَرَنِي بِكَذَا وَكَذَا وَيْمُ اللَّهِ إِنْ عُدْتَ لَأُسَوِّدَنَّ وَجْهَكْ وَلَا أَطُوفَنَّ بِكَ فِي النَّاسِ. If you do what he did again, O Abu Musa, I'll subject you to the same fate. فَإِنْ أَرَدْتَ أَنْ تَعْلَمْ حَقَّ مَا أَقُولْ فَعُدْ. That's what Sayyidina Umar. And if you doubt if I've got the muscle to walk the talk, then repeat what you did, then you'll see how quick I'll repeat what I'm claiming. Then he said, I'm sorry, my brother, you go back. I have spoken to Abu Musa Ash'ari. He has 200 dirhams. You go back and live with respect. Sayyidina Umar could tell, but yet when he was told, he would just melt. The narration of Kanzul Ummal, he ascends the pulpit. لا تغالوا في مهور النساء. Don't give women exorbitant dowries. Don't give them too much. وَإِنَّهُ لَا يَبْلُغُنِي أَنْ أَحَدٍ سَاقَ أَكْثَرْ مِمَّا سَاقَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِلَّا جَعَلْتُ فَضْلَ ذَلِكَ فِي بَيْتِ الْمَالِ. And if I must discover any man gave his spouse dowry in excess to what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave his honorable consorts, I will seize that surplus amount and I'll put it in the national treasury. He gets off the mimbar. فَتَعَرَّضَتْ لَهُ إِمْرَأَةٌ. A woman comes up. Umar, can I have a word with you? Yeah. لَكِتَابُ اللَّهِ أَحَقُّ أَن يُتَّبَعَ أَمْ قَوْلُكَ. Umar, are we bound by the Qur'an or your statements? Okay, Ben, where are you going with this now? Oh, no, what are you trying to say? You know, sometimes we just make a statement. I was giving a talk in Canada, and I won't forget this year. It's a large audience, like 25,000 people. And then I spoke about one hadith of the Nabi of Allah, and it's so important, and I keep on saying it, you know, when you have to advise people about oratory and giving talk and public speaking, about the sensitivity, because everybody has a sore nerve, and you don't want to tramp on that nerve, not deliberately, not inadvertently. And I spoke about the hadith of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the Nabi of Allah encouraged getting married to women who are unmarried, who were not previously married. عليكم بالأبكار عليكم بالأبكار فإنهن أعذب أفواها وأنتق أرحاما وأرضى باليسير. That get married to a virgin and these are the benefits, etc. In the context of the hadith, we are saying that the Nabi of Allah, you know, had this charisma, this touch with the youth. He recognized, he acknowledged, he gave this consent, etc. And as I completed the talk, and a sister came up and she was like sobbing. Young sister came up and she's sobbing. And she said, Sheikh, I need to talk to you. Like, okay, sister, what can I do? And obviously with a cracked voice, she says, you quoted this hadith, and what about me? I'm divorced. And immediately Allah put it in my mind. I said, sister, time didn't allow, but let me say to you, while the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam promoted this year, only one of his spouses were unmarried. All his others were divorced and widowed. And he said, Shaykh, may Allah bless you. There's nothing more soothing for me than that. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, only one of his spouse, that is Aisha radiallahu anha, وَأَتَاهُ جِبْرِيلُ الْأَمِينُ بِسُورَةِ فَأَحَبَّنِي الْمُخْتَارُ حِينَ رَآنِي أَنَا بِكْرُهُ الْعَذْرَاءُ عِنْدِي سِرُّهُ وَضَجِيعُهُ فِي مَنْزِلِي قَمَرَانِي وَتَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ بِحُجَّتِي وَبَرَاءَتِي فِي مُحْكَمِ الْقُرْآنِ وَاللَّهُ خَفَّرَنِي وَعَظَّمَ حُرْمَتِي وَعَلَى لِسَانِ نَبِيِّهِ بَرَّانِي
والله في القرآن قد لعن الذي بعد البراءة بالقبيح رماني والله وبخ من أراد تنقصي إفكا وسبح نفسه في شاني إني لمحصنة الإزار بريئة ودليل حسن طهارتي إحصاني والله أحصنني بخاتم رسله وأذل أهل الإفك والبهتان وسمعت وحي الله عند محمد من جبريل ونوره يغشاني من ذا يفاخرني ومحمد في حجره رباني.
The accolades of Aisha radiallahu anha. It's amazing. We don't have the time for all this now. Anyway, read it and understand the profile. So, the hadith of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but yet the action of the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu made the statement and he came down. This woman came up. Umar, are we bound by the Quran or what you said? No, obviously by the Quran. Now look at the understanding of the woman of that time. Well, the Quran say, you said we mustn't give, the men mustn't give us exorbitant dowries, right? That's what you said. I said yes.
Well, Allah says, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجٍ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا.
Brothers, I'm only saying this to encourage myself and you. So many times when I'm studying Quran and Hadith, I get this ecstasy that I start just sobbing and I say, Allah, where do I begin thanking you for introducing us to deen and the Quran? Allah, where do I begin? Imagine a life without knowing Quran. Imagine not unveiling and understanding this message, living and feeling everything else is life besides this. Allah says, if you dissolve in one marriage, and then you're getting married to another woman, and perchance you gave your former spouse a treasure of dowry, don't claim it when you dissolve in it. She used this verse to reference the permissibility of a handsome dowry, because Allah used the word qintar. Umar radiallahu anhu was bold. Asabat imra'atun wa akhta'a rajul kullu wahid afqah min Umar. Yet again a woman was accurate and a man has erred. But the truth be told, everybody knows more than Umar. Everybody. If we say, I don't know nothing, I'm useless. You know, again, sarcastic. That's it. That's the other thing. Even if we admit, there's so much sarcasm in that. You know, I'm Mr. Useless, bhai. You must know it all. So we lose that moment also. Now one is like, okay, sister, now you know what? It's okay, what you said is fine. Yeah, don't tell anybody what I said, but it's fine. No, Umar goes back on the mimbar. Goes back on the mimbar. نَهَيْتُ النَّاسَ آنِفَ أَن يَتَغَالُوا فِي مُهُورِ النِّسَى. Listen, brothers, just hold 1 minute. I made a statement. And according to my understanding, I said this. But the sister just pointed out to me what I did was wrong. I retract my words. فَلْيَفْعَلْ كُلُّ رَجُلٍ فِي مَالِهِ مَا بَدَى لَهُ. You are at liberty to deal with your wealth as you feel. The narration is in Kanzul Ummal. My apologies, my short-sightedness, my mistake, I erred. And the sister pointed it out to me. How much we learn the openness, the transparency, the knowledge of the woman, the broad shoulders of Umar, the narration of Tariq al-Tabri. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu ascends the pulpit. Time is running away. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu ascends the pulpit. He says, Ya ayyuhan nas isma'u wa ati'u. O people, listen and obey. فَقَالَ سَلْمَانُ لَا سَمْعَ لَكَ وَلَا طَاعَ. Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu said, Oh Umar, just stop there. We're not even listening. Never mind, we're practicing. We're not even listening. Never mind practicing. وَلِمَا يَا أَبَا عَبْدِ اللَّهِ وَلِمَا And why would you say that to me, O Salman? He said, because you received this cloth and garment from someone. فَقَسَمْتَهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ And then you distributed to everyone. We all receive from the national treasury one piece of cloth. وَعَلَيْكَ حُلَّ وَالْحُلَّةُ ثَوْبَانِ And you are wearing a full uniform. You are wearing two pieces of cloth when we only received one. I must be honest, Umar, I'm not listening to you. My mind is running. Where did you get the other piece of cloth from? Now, our mind is when the Imam Sahib drives a nice car. You see, that's where my mind is running. But when you're not here for Fajr, then you mustn't think bad of me. There are a lot of masjids. I can read Fajr anywhere. But when Imam Sahib is driving a nice car, hey, you know what? I wonder what's happening. Maybe we're overpaying. Overpaying, my brother. Overpaying. That's another crisis in the ummah. That's another crisis. No regard or respect for our scholars. No regard or respect for our scholars. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Bukhari, Kitab al-Tafsir. He said, I wanted to ask Umar radiallahu anhu one ruling. Surah Tahrim. Mani latani tazaharata. The two women. In tatuba ilallahi faqad sagat kulubukuma. وَإِن تَظَاهَرَا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ مَوْلَاهُ وَجِبْرِيلُ وَصَالِحُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ I tagged behind Umar for 1 year. Every time I looked, I said, this is not the right time. Every time I looked, this is not the right time. We dictate. Well, now wait for me. Don't be in a hurry. Yeah, I'm coming. Relax. I got to ask you two maslas. What? I might give you the answer, my brother. But that arrogance, deen will never come into anyone. Deen is the quality of Allah. Ilm, istighna, independence, arrogance, it's never going to come. Walau annahum sabaru. Walau annahum sabaru. Banu Tamim came. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was resting in one of his apartments. And they said, Ya Muhammad, ukhruj. Muhammad, where are you? We need to talk to you. Allah said, and the ulama have written, let's not me read the tafsir, that these values that are mentioned in this chapter, while the context is with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but it applies to our seniors and our scholars. Read the tafsir.
إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ مِن وَرَاءِ الْحُجُرَاتِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ
Those who scream out and yell out and shout out, how many people refer to their scholars without a title of respect and honor? I say to my students, you call your ustad without adab, the Quran says one of the causes of the fall and the collapse and the deviations of the infidels, انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال فضلوا. انظر كيف ضربوا لك الأمثال. Oh my Habib, see their arrogance. They give you such nasty names. They call you a magician. They call you a soothsayer. Maulana burger you looking for? I'm just using a derogatory word, I don't know. But like people will use some hectic name. The man who's given my children Quran. The man who follows me in Salah. And these are the Unzur, see, kayfa darabu. How they give you name. Fadallu. Hence they deviated. Fala yastati'una sabila. They're not going to come back on the path. This was about the kuffar. Let me qualify my statement. Those who stand outside and scream out, La ya'qilun. They don't have any sanity. وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ صَبَرُوا حَتَّى تَخْرُجُ If only they could camp outside your door, and when you exited and you had time, that's the time they approach you. It would have been much better for them. It would have been much better for them. You want to secure an appointment with a doctor, with a man of status, and you'll pay an arm and a leg, and you'll pay that happily also. Where's the respect? Anyway, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu is on the member. So, Salman radiallahu anhu says that, you know what, we all receive one piece of cloth and you have two. And we need explanations. La ta'ajal. Your point is valid, O Salman. Imagine this is a khutbah in process. Yeah? Can you imagine that atmosphere? Umar is on the member radiallahu anhu. Salman, Umar, just stop there and there. No, not there. We're not listening. Just stop there. Yeah. We got one piece of cloth, you got two. La ta'ajal, don't hasten. Abdullah, come here. Bye. Speak to Salman radiallahu anhu. Tell him, الثوب الذي اعتزرت أهو ثوبك. The bottom, the trouser I'm wearing, is this yours or not? Yes, it is mine that I gave to my father. Salman radiallahu anhu said, you can resume. Now we're all yours. Now my heart is clean. I'm looking at you with a clean eye. I don't have any doubts on you. I'm listening, all yours. Sayyidina Umar asked Muhammad, I want to mention one, two things and then I'm going to wrap up. You need to digest. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, he asked Muhammad ibn Maslama, كيف tarani? How do you see me? What's your opinion? He said, أراك كما أحب وكما يحب من يحب لك الخير. Wallahi, I see you exactly like how I want to see you, And every man who has your interest at heart will be happy the manner in which you are. أَرَاكَ قَوِيًّا عَلَى جَمْعِ الْمَالِ عَفِيفًا عَنْهُ. I say you're very meticulous to gather money, but you keep yourself far from touching it. وَلَوْ مِلْتَ عَدَلْنَاكَ. وَلَوْ مِلْتَ عَدَلْنَاكَ. And if you just go off the line, we'll straighten you with the same sword with which you straighten us. He said, Alhamdulillahi alladhi ja'alani fi qawmin idha miltu addaluni. Allah, I'm so happy I'm amongst people that when I go astray, they put me straight immediately, Allah. Allah, I'm so happy. I mean, consciously, when do we have somebody to advise us? Wives are advising us all the time, that's there. He one day stands up, Tabaqat ibn Sa'd. One narration, another, inshallah, we'll wrap up. Tabaqat ibn Sa'd. لا يعلم رجل مني عيبا إلا عابه. Listen, brothers, today the khutbah is basically, I'm asking the whole congregation, if anybody has noticed, observed any wrong of mine, please come and meet me and speak to me. I want to effect change in my life. فقام رجل. One person stood up. فيك عيبان. Umar, I won't have time later. I'm telling you now. That is why when Umar was stern, people obliged because he was sincere. He was sincere at heart. Umar, you have two issues with your life. تَبَسَّمَ وَجْهُهُ قَائِلًا. He smiles. وَمَا هُوَ. May Allah reward you. What are those two wrongs? I notice. تَلْبَسُ قَمِيسًا وَتَخْلَعُ الْآخَرِ. You have two outfits and the majority of us only own one. It's not fair that you have two pieces of clothing and we have only one. Sometimes you're wearing this, sometimes you're wearing that. Umar, sometimes we don't have one meal to eat and I have observed once or twice two varieties on your tablecloth. Brother, your point has been taken. لا أجمع بين الطعامين ولا بين لونين من الطعام. That was the last I would own two outfits and that was the last that there were two dishes on my table till the day I died. Where am I, my brother? Where am I? Allah, where? I just cry. Allah, what am I going to do, Allah, when I go down, my Allah? What am I going to do, my Allah? How am I going to face? I often cry over this. Wherever I travel, people come out in so much respect and reverence and honor. And then I say, Allah, is there going to be any reward for me in Akhirah, Allah? Is there going to be anything left? Is there going to be anything left for me in Akhirah? Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. He was in an agreement with a particular group. And then the agreement expired. The peace treaty, the duration expired. So he deployed a strategy, which from a battle perspective proved to be very, very efficient. What he did was, when the period of the treaty was expiring, he had deployed his forces on the boundaries. So if tonight it's expiring, tomorrow morning you ambush. So you get them off guard. It's ending on a particular date, end of the month. They're still getting their thoughts together. And while they're unaware, you ambush. And the strategy proved to be very effective from a battle perspective. He deployed his troops, put them around the armies, and here they are just conquering town after town. Now can you imagine when you're conquering and you're winning and you're in your glory and you're in your might and you're in your authority and the day is yours. It's all happening as you're playing. You're on top. You're dominating the scene. As he's moving, town after town, just surrendering to him. A person runs, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, wafa'un la ghadr, Allahu Akbar, Muawiyah, Muawiyah, Islam says loyalty, no disloyalty, loyalty, loyalty. Who is this? Amr ibn Ambasa, the narration of Abu Dawood. What's it all about? Oh Muawiyah, I just want to tell you, I heard Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, that if you have a peace treaty with a nation, and your duration expires, you can't launch an attack till you don't officially announce it to them that the treaty has expired. So effectively, by the light of this hadith, all your invasions are illegitimate and all your victory is not recognized. If it was us, okay, we'll stop from here, but this is not ours. You know, I say the brother opens a wrapper, he's popping a candy in his mouth. Hey, that one is doubtful. Okay, next time I won't buy, inshallah. Next time I won't buy. This time I didn't know. You eating it before me, I'm telling you. You can't drop a candy, my brother. Sayyidina Muawiyah said, really? He said, yes. He said, okay. Return all the towns back to the kuffar.
وإما تخافن من قوم خيانة فانبذ إليهم على سواء وإما تخافن من قوم خيانة فانبذ إليهم على سواء إن الله لا يحب الخائنين.
Allah doesn't like those who betray. Allah don't like those who are treacherous. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu puts a boulder on his chest. I have erred. I thought it was a healthy strategy. From a material perspective, it got us a lot of momentum and we made inroads. But hang on, I've just been told that the Nabi of Allah said this is wrong. I ask Allah, my brother, to give me the muscle and the strength and the ability to listen. What they say in English? If you are too big to be criticized, you are too small to be praised. If you are too big, no, his profile is too big. You can't tell him, well, then you don't deserve any praise also. May Allah make us such that we can become receptive to people when people tell us. And may Allah give us the strength that when we need to tell someone something, we do it diplomatically, we do it sincerely. That quote that I said in my opening comments, I'm going to leave you again with it. You can learn a lot from your mistakes, provided you're not denying them.